Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Calendars go together with culture. They help us reinforce our culture. For example, on July 4th, we could ask our neighbor, "Don't you know what day it is?" And they could probably tell you, "It's Independence Day." And what happened on this day? The Declaration of Independence from Great Britain was signed in 1776. It was the birth of our nation as an independent entity. Besides national events and national culture, there are also more personal calendars. We remember the days of births. We remember anniversaries. Remembering marks the person and event as something special. In our Old Testament reading today, we learned about a festival that the Lord himself instituted for his people, the Israelites. The Lord told Moses and Aaron that they were getting a whole new calendar. That month was going to be the beginning of the year. On the 10th day, they were to choose a yearling lamb. They were to keep it with them until the 14th day. Then they were all to slaughter the lambs at sunset. The blood of the lambs they would put on the sides and tops of their doors. They were to eat the lamb roasted whole over a fire. They were to eat it in haste. That is because they were on their way out. That night, the final and worst of the 10 plagues against Egypt would come down upon their heads. The angel of the Lord would strike down the firstborn in all the houses that were not protected by the blood of the Lamb. So in a way, this was the Israelites' Independence Day, although that is entirely the wrong word for it. If anything, it's their Dependence Day. From that day forward, they would be dependent upon the Lord their God. But it was the beginning of their nation as a separate entity. They were liberated from their slavery in Egypt. They became God's own nation, set apart, royal priests, the only nation whom God chose out of all the rest. As you heard at the end of the reading, God tells the Israelites to make use of this day on their calendar. They were to celebrate it every year as a memorial of what happened. And so it came to pass that the Lord Jesus and his disciples were observing the festival of Passover on Thursday of Holy Week so many years ago. They were gathered together in an upper room that had wonderfully been prepared for them in advance. It is in the midst of this meal that Jesus instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now perhaps you can see the similarities to the Old Testament festival of Passover. Passover was a memorial of what God did for the Israelites in Egypt. Jesus speaks of the Lord's Supper as a memorial. Of his body, he says, "This do in remembrance of me." Of his blood, he says, "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This supper is a memorial of Jesus and what God would do to him and through him such a short time after this. Less than 24 hours after Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he would be lying in a tomb, dead. The Lamb of God that had been sacrificed for the sins of the world. But the Lord's Supper is also different than a memorial. With a memorial, everybody understands that the thing that has been done is not really there anymore when it gets remembered. The lambs that the Israelites sacrificed on the Passovers following that original Passover were not the same lambs whose blood was painted on the doors of their houses. On July 4th, there isn't a new Declaration of Independence that is written up and signed. On birthdays, the person is not born again. On anniversaries, the couple is not married again. The event lies in the past, perhaps even somewhat covered in dust. And then every year, it's taken out again and the dust is blown off by remembering it. Jesus' words are quite different. He says, "This bread is my body. It is given for you." These verbs are in the present tense. Furthermore, he says, "For you." For whom? Just for the disciples who were there on that night? No, because Jesus tells them that they were going to repeat this supper, and we know that it was repeated with larger numbers than just the 12. So the "you" that Jesus is speaking of is Christians, his disciples, you, individually, however many there might be, and wherever they might be. Wherever this is done, that bread is his body. The same thing is also true of the cup. The verbs are in the present tense. It is his blood that is shed for you. Furthermore, this blood forgives your sins. It is quite different from a mere commemoration. There's something that actually takes place with the Lord's Supper. Namely, Jesus' body is eaten, Jesus' blood is drunk, all our sins are forgiven, according to the New Testament that God has established with us in Jesus' blood. The Lord's Supper is also different from merely a commemoration in the way that it's supposed to be used. If it were only a commemoration of Jesus' death, then it would make sense that it should only be done once a year. Passover is celebrated once a year. Birthdays are celebrated once a year. Jesus instituted this supper on a specific day. He died on a specific day. But Jesus does not tell the disciples to have the Lord's Supper only once a year. He tells them, however often they do it, they should do it in remembrance of him. It's quite probable that in the apostolic church, the Lord's Supper was offered every Lord's Day. That is, every Sunday, and perhaps other days besides. There is no regulation that we have to do it on a Thursday or Friday or Sunday. However often we might do it, we are to do it in remembrance of Jesus. In our epistle reading, the Apostle Paul is speaking about the Lord's Supper, and he says that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This gives us some insight as to why the Lord's Supper is different from a mere memorial and why it isn't observed only once a year or on certain days. The Lord coming again is the purpose of the sacrament. How can we be prepared for the Lord's coming? Only by the Lord's sacrificial death. The body of which and the blood of which we eat and drink in the sacrament. And when is the Lord coming again? No one knows the day nor the hour. So how can we assume that there will be another Maundy Thursday, another year, that we can observe? Even if the Lord might not come in his glory for all people, it might very well be the end of the world for you. Jesus might come for you. This could be the last Maundy Thursday for any one of us. How can we be found worthy and well prepared for when that might happen? There's only one way. It is by the death of Christ, by his holy body and blood that was offered on the cross. Thus, for Christ's coming, there is no better way to be prepared than by receiving and believing the promises that Jesus makes in the sacrament. This is his body given for you. This is his blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. Believe this, and you have exactly what those words say, because Jesus is not a liar. In this way, by faith in Jesus' words, you are worthy and well prepared to receive the sacrament. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.